Last time we did a show about the Affordable Care Act, we got a number of phone calls about Medi-Cal. So on today's Your Call, we are opening the lines to take your questions as California's program prepares for a major expansion. Because of the Affordable Care Act, an additional 2 million people are expected to sign up for the program. But doctors say they cannot accept additional patients because it doesn't pay enough. So how are state officials preparing, and what does this mean for people in need of care? What questions do you have about Medi-Cal in California? Join us after the news.
BBC News with Sue Montgomery. Ukrainian security forces are moving in against anti-government protesters and opposition parties. Police in riot gear have begun dismantling the protesters' encampments in the centre of the capital, Kiev. There have been reports of cyber attacks on media outlets. Steve Rosenberg is in Kiev.
There are certainly plenty more police on the streets in the centre of Kiev today, but there's been some drama across town. According to a spokesperson for the Fatherland Party, today armed men in masks broke into the organisation's headquarters. They reportedly seized computer servers and then left the building. Fatherland is the party of the jailed former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, and it's been one of the three main opposition parties which has been coordinating the mass anti-government protests.
A court in the Somali capital Mogadishu has handed down jail sentences to a woman who alleged she was raped and to the two journalists who reported her story. The 19-year-old woman was given a suspended six-month sentence for defamation and lying. One of the journalists received a six-month sentence, the other a year. Mary Harper reports.
It's ironic that neither of the men accused of committing the rape have been brought before a court. This case bears strong echoes with other instances of women reporting rape in Somalia. In August, a woman who said she was gang-raped by African Union forces was held by the police. And in February, another alleged rape victim and another Somali journalist were sentenced to a year each in jail. They were later released after widespread international criticism.
Nelson Mandela's eldest daughter, Makaziwe, has told the BBC of the final days of her father's life. She said she was sure he was able to hear how his family said how much they loved him. Miss Mandela acknowledged their relationship had not always been easy and that her father had found it hard to show his emotions, but more than anything, he wanted his family to be reconciled. Israel, the Palestinian Authority and Jordan are due to sign an agreement later today designed to save the Dead Sea from the risk of drying up. Kevin Connolly has this report.
The Dead Sea is a natural wonder, the lowest point below sea level on the planet. Its waters so rich in salt and other minerals that humans float naturally on its surface. But it's also dying because the River Jordan, which feeds it, is being used more and more intensively for irrigation. By some estimates, the level of the Dead Sea has been dropping by more than a metre a year, and it may have dried up entirely by 2050. The ambitious plan to save it involves piping water down from the Red Sea, although some scientists worry that that might change the unique chemistry of the Dead Sea.
You're listening to the World News from the BBC. The leader of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt has appeared in court for the first time since his arrest as part of a state campaign against the movement after the army ousted the Islamist president Mohamed Morsi. Mohamed Badia denied that the Brotherhood had incited violence. He asked why the death of his son and the burning down of Brotherhood offices were not being investigated instead. French troops have begun disarming militia groups in the Central African Republic. There was a brief exchange of gunfire between armed men and French soldiers in the capital Bangui as the operation got underway. A spokesman for the French army said its troops had arrested fighters in the city and seized weapons. This woman in Bangui said she felt safer.
Yesterday, we couldn't even cross the road here because the Seleka came and set up a base. But thank God the French arrived and the Seleka spread out, so we don't see them anymore on these little roads. If there's peace, things will get better.
American Airlines and US Airways have completed their merger to create the world's biggest airline. The new company will retain the name American Airlines and will serve more than 330 destinations in over 50 countries. A French labour union says the aerospace giant EADS is to cut 5,800 jobs in its defence and space divisions across Europe. The Force Ouvrière union says the company, which owns the aircraft maker Airbus, will make the cutbacks over 3 years in Britain, France, Germany and Spain. A collection of Native American masks has been sold at an auction house in France, despite protests from activists and an appeal from the United States. The Hopi tribe say the masks, which were taken illegally from a reservation in Arizona, represent their ancestors' spirits and should not be sold as merchandise. A French judge ruled that the sale was legal in France. BBC News.
Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Medi-Cal, California's federally funded state health insurance program, currently covers 8.5 million people who otherwise would not be able to afford coverage. It provides services like doctor visits, hospital care, and nursing home care. With the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, Medi-Cal is undergoing a major expansion. State health officials expect 1 to 2 million newly eligible Californians to sign up. Now, under the expansion, the income threshold to qualify for Medi-Cal will go up to 138% of the federal poverty level. This year, that computes to $15,800 for an individual and $32,500 for a family of four. The program is also no longer limited to just families. It's now open to adults without children. New enrollees have until December 23rd to sign up for coverage that will begin on January 1st. And expanded services will be fully covered by federal funding for the first 2 years. So on today's Your Call, we continue our coverage of the Affordable Care Act and what it means for you. And today we are talking about Medi-Cal. A lot of questions remain. Does California have the means to serve the needs of the million or more people signing up for the program? Some doctors say they can't accept new patients because it doesn't pay enough. So where will these new patients go for treatment? The last time we did a show about the new law, we had a slew of calls about Medi-Cal. So if you have questions or comments, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today we are joined by Shannon McConville, Research Associate at the Public Policy Institute of California, a nonprofit, nonpartisan think tank. Shannon focuses on use and access to health care. Hi, Shannon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks so much for having me.
Nice to have you. We are also joined by Anthony Wright, Executive Director of Health Access California, a statewide healthcare consumer advocacy coalition. They lead the state and national efforts to win consumer protections, fight budget cuts, and invest in the safety net. Hi, Anthony. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be back.
Great to have you. So before we dive in and talk about Medi-Cal, I just want to talk about the website because there's a little bit of confusion. So in order to sign up for healthcare in California, the website is coveredca.com. And there's some news going around about this bogus website put up by the California Republican Party called coveringhealthcareca.com. The LA Times had a piece about this last week. Anthony, how can the Republicans get away with putting up a fake website?
Well, everybody is allowed to put up information that is one way or another. The problem is that their website is misleading. It's misleading by emphasis. It's misleading by omission. And it's distracting for people who are actually looking for the official website, coveredca.com.
And are people getting confused by this? Is it getting a lot of attention?
It didn't get a lot of attention when it was released a couple of months ago, but in the last week, several Republican assemblymen have been putting mailers out to constituents in their district, and that has generated more traffic and also more attention, media attention, to this site. And again, it does go through some of the provisions of the website, but all in a negative light and with certain emphases and excluding others. It emphasizes all the requirements without any of the new rights, protections, or benefits of the law.
And, Shannon, according to this piece in the L.A. Times, Assemblyman Jeff Gorell, a Republican of Camarillo, sent out a letter to his constituents in their mailboxes and said that this is a resource guide for Californians.
Well, honestly, I just kind of saw this Republican website, I believe it was last week, when a colleague showed it to me. I think I wasn't even familiar with it. And so I took a quick look, and, you know, I kind of defer to Anthony on what some of those implications might be, because I haven't really looked in depth at it. But you'd like to hope that people are going to still be able to get to the official site,
right,
ca.com, and, you know, go through that process, which is getting access to coverage that they might be eligible and just understanding what might be available to them.
Yeah, so again, the official website is coveredca.com, not coveringhealthcareca.com, coveredca.com. And I'll mention that throughout the show, because there's already a little confusion between the state site and the federal site. So why don't we talk about how the law affects Medi-Cal and the new eligibility is going to increase significantly. Can you talk about who now qualifies for Medi-Cal?
Sure. I'm guessing that you're coming to me. You did a great job with covering a lot of the basics. I think the really big change that we have now is that single adults without dependent children and without a qualifying disability now have access to this program when they are low income. And in the past, that just wasn't the case. Folks without coverage who were poor had to rely, and, you know, still do, but rely on just a patch of safety net providers who do a good job, and yet, you know, there's just not enough there. And so the expansion of comprehensive health insurance coverage to this very large group is important, and it's great that California implemented that expansion, because we do have several other states in the nation that chose not to.
And Anthony, what else can you tell us about who else is eligible for Medi-Cal under the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize that it's a transformational change in our safety net. For so long, Medi-Cal was associated with being targeted to a very specific population, which is children and, in some cases, their parents, as well as seniors and people with disabilities. And now it really is a safety net that for people who are between jobs, don't have an income, or have a very low income, it's now a place where you can get coverage, even if you're going to bounce back, which we hope lots of people do. It's now something. Before, there was an asset test where if you had more than $2,000 worth of assets, you were excluded from coverage. Now, you know, you can still have a home, some assets, etc., and get Medi-Cal coverage before as you're looking for the next job, your next situation. So it's both an expansion in terms of, you know, the number of people, potentially over 1.3, 1.4 million Californians, but it also is now a safety net that all of us can potentially benefit from when we fall in hard times.
Well, and according to an analysis by the UC Berkeley Center for Labor Research, even if someone's employed and insured, they can still potentially qualify for Medi-Cal. And they say that 310,000 Californians who would otherwise have received job-based insurance next year will be eligible for Medi-Cal. So does that mean that these people who are making less than about 16 grand a year, who got insurance from their employer, will now be able to get Medi-Cal?
Well, they would be able to get Medi-Cal, but it would be wraparound to whatever is provided at by the employer. The employer-based or private coverage is primary, but to the extent that there's certain services or costs services that are not covered in that employer-based coverage, then that can provide some additional help for that family who is in that income level.
And so, what are you seeing right now in terms of an increase in enrollees? Are a lot of people signing up for Medi-Cal?
Well, I would like to highlight, this is actually one of the big success stories of California, which is California is only one of a handful of states that did an early expansion of Medi-Cal under the Affordable Care Act through county-based low-income health programs. The counties are putting up the money that traditionally goes to their indigent care services to draw down a federal match and provide coverage, that includes primary and preventative care to folks in anticipation of January 1, when all of these people go into full Medi-Cal. And very excitingly, 53 of 58 counties signed up to provide this service, and now we have, the numbers are that over 660,000 Californians are already in this Medi-Cal-like coverage and are slated to be shifted into full Medi-Cal on January 1. To give you a sense of the magnitude of this, the other states that have done this early expansion Medicaid, their expansions are in the tens of thousands. So this is just an example of where California has not just implemented but improved upon the law and taken aggressive advantage of the new benefits and options, bringing new federal dollars into our health system, into our economy, and getting people care prior to the January 1 official launch.
And Shannon, can you talk about some of the new benefits?
Sure. Well, I mean, the new benefits to those that were uninsured are quite extensive. As Anthony mentioned, California did do this early expansion through the county low-income health programs, which are often called the LIPS. And although they did make a big step forward from the typically more episodic care that's provided in county safety net systems, it's still not comprehensive in insurance coverage. And so Medi-Cal covers, I mean, it's in many ways, it's better than many folks have in terms of their private coverage. So it covers pregnancy benefits, you mentioned long-term care benefits, prescription benefits, inpatient, outpatient. It really is full comprehensive coverage. And although the LIPS really did, try to provide medical homes and coordinate care and give people access to a full range of services, it wasn't kind of this comprehensive coverage. And another big thing, and the LIPS did incorporate this as well, but increased coverage for behavioral health and substance use services was part of the Affordable Care Act, and that will be, have an expanded presence in Medi-Cal, and those benefits will improve as well.
And Shannon, how are doctors and hospitals preparing for so many new patients using Medi-Cal services?
Well, I mean, I think the LIPS were an important piece to kind of get folks into the system. There was another part, so the county low-income health programs were part of a large federal waiver, which is what allowed us to put the almost 700,000 people into a early Medi-Cal-like expansion. That waiver also included considerable funds to help our county hospital systems get ready, and so they had a program, and I'm going to not get the acronym right, the DSRIP program dumped a lot of money into the county hospital systems to really help them kind of ramp up their delivery system and make improvements to get ready for this influx of patients. That said, I mean, I think it kind of remains to be seen, and it might vary across regions, how well, the system is able to incorporate so many more new patients.
And what would you add to that, Anthony? Because we're going to talk about a possible doctor shortage. There was a piece in the New York Times quoting a lot of doctors in California saying that they won't accept new patients because the program doesn't pay enough. But before we talk about that, how are clinics and doctors and the entire system, how is it preparing for all of these new patients?
Well, it is both a challenge and an opportunity to the safety net, to community clinics, public hospitals, and the like. At one level, to the extent that people who were previously uninsured now have Medi-Cal coverage, they suddenly become paying patients, and that can be a boon to those populations that have traditionally, gone to a community clinic or a public hospital. At the same time, when those folks get coverage, they have now new options and can potentially walk with their feet to other private providers or others. And so now the community clinics and the public hospitals have to be more competitive in order to maintain that business. So, it is both it's both an opportunity of having a new revenue stream that was not available before, given who their population and client base was. At the same time, they now have to be a provider of choice, which is something that they have to reorient their practices and business models to adapt to.
And according to the UC Berkeley Labor Center, the expansion will bring in up to $3.5 billion in new federal Medi-Cal dollars to California by next year, and then by 2019, about $4.5 billion. The federal government will pay for at least 85% of the total new spending between 2014 and 2019. Anthony, where does the other 15% come from?
Well, so let's be clear. For the people who are newly eligible for Medi-Cal, the federal government will pay 100% of the cost of those people. So for every person we do not enroll is money that we're leaving in Washington, D.C., not coming into our health system, not coming into our economy. So that's why we have not just a moral but a financial imperative to get as many people signed up as possible. In the fourth year, it goes down to 95%, and in the tenth year and beyond, it's 90% federal. The federal government will pay 90%. The state is responsible for 10%. So that's a 9-to-1 match. You can't get a better deal in government or in life than a 9-to-1 match. But the governor, when agreeing to the Medicaid expansion, did require a reallocation of dollars that traditionally go to safety net providers like public hospitals in order to help pay for that 10% in future years. And so, but this is just a huge boon for bringing in federal dollars into our state, and that's especially important for California, which traditionally is on the short end of the stick of how much money we send to Washington, D.C. versus what we get back.
And according to this piece in the New York Times, 57% of doctors in California accept new Medicaid patients. This is according to the journal Health Affairs, the second lowest rate in the nation after New Jersey. And then payment rates for Medi-Cal in California are also really low here compared to most states. Why are the payments so low?
Part of it has just been there are perpetual budget crises. It is one of the things that with Medi-Cal being a fairly large part of the state budget, it's just one of the things that if you're in a really big budget hole is available to cut. And in fact, there's a pending an additional 10% rate cut that's pending and being implemented that was delayed from 2010. That's still in process right now. So it's very unfortunate we have a very low provider reimbursement rate. It's one of the reasons why there not as many doctors sign up for coverage, and it's something that we need to reinvest in now that we're getting back on our feet, now that we're seeing surpluses as opposed to deficit at the state level. It's something that we need to reinvest in. It is to bring our Medi-Cal dollar Medicaid system to be a strong foundation for the rest of our health system.
Who sets the rates?
It's something that's determined in the state budget, that is passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. So it is a state budget item. It's something that's controlled by the state, and it's a question of whether we're willing to invest in this population and in our health system. And again, even for the population that was previously eligible for Medi-Cal, not the new population, it's a 50-50 match. So for every dollar we invested, we brought in another dollar from federal sources. And so even for the previous existing, it's a good investment because there's very few places where you double your money in economic activity. That's what happens with Medi-Cal.
So the Democratic-controlled legislature in California wants an additional rate cut of 10%, even though we have one of the lowest in the country?
Yes. It was one of the decisions that was made during the budget crises. It's something that my organization, Health Access, fought against. When you're in a situation where you have restrictions on being able to raise revenue, including taxes, and then the only choice is where to cut, that's one of the things that generally gets on the list over the years.
That is Anthony Wright, Executive Director of Health Access California, a statewide healthcare consumer advocacy coalition. Shannon McConville is Research Associate at the Public Policy Institute of California, a nonprofit, nonpartisan think tank. And today we are continuing our coverage of the Affordable Care Act by focusing on Medi-Cal, currently serving 8.5 million people who wouldn't otherwise have coverage. With the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, state health officials are expecting between about 1.5 million newly eligible Californians to sign up. If you qualify, if you're an individual and you make less than $15,800 or a family of four, $32,500, the program is no longer limited to just families. It's now open to adults without children. And you can find more information at yourcallradio.org. And again, the website for signing up is coveredca.com. That's coveredca.com. And if you have any questions about Medi-Cal, if you're on it right now, what do you think of the program? If you recently signed up, what's your experience been like? And if you want to know if you qualify, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. Or if you work in the healthcare industry and you'd like to talk about these low rates, if you're a doctor and you don't take new patients, why and what would it take to get you to take new patients? You can also leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. And let's go to our first caller, Anonymous. Hi, welcome to the show. Did we lose Anonymous? Hello? Anonymous wanted to...
Hello?
Oh, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, it's me.
Hi, go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, he says some people are not covered. Well, what category might that be? And if you're elderly, you do have a home but very little income, what financial ramifications fall on that person, and what is
Okay, so you own a home. What is your income, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it's below $15,000. I mean, it's very low.
Okay, so stay on the line. Shannon, she owns a home and makes less than $15,000 a year. Does she qualify?
Well, I mean, doing eligibility determinations, I mean, obviously, depending on her age, she should, I would guess, is qualified for Medicare. To understand her eligibility for the Medi-Cal program, that's really something that you would need to kind of work through in terms of, you know, understanding. Anthony may be able to answer. I mean, and to the extent that there aren't asset tests any longer, perhaps that simplifies things, although I don't know that I'm, you know,
okay.
But she should, I mean, it sounds like based on her income, she should be in some sort of category where it definitely makes sense to try to understand what she might, whether she's eligible for Medi-Cal. But that said, Medi-Cal does cover some things that are not covered by Medicare, but Medicare should be covering quite a bit of health insurance.
Anthony, anything to add?
It is important to distinguish for your listeners that, you know, the distinction between those who are over 65, where it's just a different set of rules because, again, those who are on Medicare, then Medi-Cal for those who are low income serves as a wraparound feature. And especially for those who are trying to get long-term care services through Medi-Cal, there continues to be a spend-down requirement. When we say that we're getting rid of the asset test, we're talking about for those under 65 who previously were barred from any Medi-Cal coverage whatsoever.
Okay. And then for people who don't have access to the Internet, can you give me the phone number for people who to find out if they're eligible? Here it is. 855, is that right? It says 855-400-0775. Does that sound right, Anthony?
For English, the Covered California website is 800-300-1506.
Okay.
800-300-1506, and that's the phone number for Covered California, which can then determine if you are eligible for either the new private coverage in the exchange or for Medi-Cal.
Okay. So, Anonymous, we hope that helps. Again, coveredca.com, or the number is 800-300-1506. And we just got an email from Chuck in Foster City who says, after one run-through with a hiccup on my part, I figured it out, withdrew my application easily, went through it again. In 20 minutes, I had enrolled in the plan I wanted, keeping my hospital and doctor. The Covered CA site is snappy, clear, and much better than I was expecting. Kudos to the team that made that happen. So thanks for emailing, Chuck. And you can email us feedback@yourcallradio.org. We have full lines, but we'll have one open in a couple minutes, 866-798-8255. And today we're talking about Medi-Cal and the expanded version of Medi-Cal under the Affordable Care Act. What questions do you have about Medi-Cal? It's your call, and we'll be back after this.
Your call is always better when you get involved. If you have a question, idea, or experience to add or contribute to today's conversation, the number is 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255. You can also send an email, question, or comment to feedback@yourcallradio.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Tomorrow, we will have a conversation about low-wage workers organizing for increased wages and the right to unionize. On Thursday, fast food workers in 100 cities walked out for the fifth time this year. And then on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, Walmart workers protested and went on strike at 1,500 stores. So we'll talk about the rise in this movement and where it's going. And then on Wednesday, we'll talk about alternative forms of energy. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are continuing our coverage of the Affordable Care Act. Last time we did a show, we got a ton of phone calls and emails about Medi-Cal. So today, we're specifically focusing on this program that currently covers 8.5 million people. With the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, it's undergoing a major expansion. State health officials expect 1 to 2 million newly eligible Californians. So what does this mean for the system? How is it preparing? What about new patients? If you're a new patient, what has your experience been like? And because the rates are so low, a lot of doctors say they can't sign up too many new patients. So what does this mean for the system overall? We've got full lines, but we'll have one open in a few minutes at 866-798-8255. You can also email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. And today we are joined by Anthony Wright, Executive Director of Health Access California, a statewide healthcare consumer advocacy coalition, and Shannon McConville is Research Associate at the Public Policy Institute of California, a nonprofit, nonpartisan think tank. And let's hear next from Olivia in Live Oak. Hi, Olivia. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Olivia. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I will be newly eligible for Medi-Cal come January 1st, and so I did all the paperwork. I went into the Emmeline office in October, and they said, all right, you're in the system. And then I've received letters saying, you are not eligible for Medi-Cal, so we've denied your application.
Any explanation?
Because it's using this year's eligibility requirements.
Okay. Anthony?
So I'm wondering if that just rolled over in January.
Anthony, do you know?
I would recommend just following up with your county health services department just to double check. I appreciate that you're right. You're not eligible at this moment. You will be eligible on January 1, and you just want to follow up with your county health department to make sure that you're not lost in the system between the two changeover. It also is the case that depending on the county that you're in, you could potentially get access to coverage now through a low-income health program. You can sign up and actually for another week or so. If you need coverage in the next couple of weeks, you could potentially sign up for your county low-income health program, and then that will put you in the queue to be automatically switched to Medi-Cal on January 1.
And where's the best way to find information about that?
Well, again, it is administered county by county, so I would say just check with your county's health department.
Okay, and so should
going directly to the office will still be connected to the countywide, statewide information?
That's right.
Now, should she reapply in January or just contact?
Hopefully it won't come to that. If the worst case scenario is that she's not in the system and she reapplies in January, but this may be just a computer mix. This is a fairly major transition, and there will be hiccups, not to excuse, but just for explanation. And so, you know, there have been some issues with some of the notices that have gone out. And so that's interesting for us to hear as advocates to inquire after the show as well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Olivia, and good luck with it. Thanks for calling in. Let's go next to Ruthann in El Cerrito. Hi, Ruthann.
Yeah, hi there. Good morning. Thank you so much for doing this show. I was curious, I would ask either of the folks, my understanding is that in terms of reimbursement to doctors, that Medi-Cal reimbursement is a split state and federal, and I'm under the impression that Medicare, which is what I have as a person with a disability, is completely fed, and there are no income or asset thresholds for Medicare at all. All you have to do is be over 65 or qualified disabled to be receiving it. And what I was wondering is if in the movement to have improved and expanded Medicare for all, cradle to grave, that would address, I'm wondering, that would address part of the funding problems or the exceptions that participating physicians are having to accepting new Medi-Cal patients, meaning that they're not going to get enough money in reimbursement to pay their staff and their rent and their utility bills for the office, their overhead. And that's very understandable. I don't think they're trying to make out like bandits. But I'm just wondering why there's seemingly no problem with that with Medicare. And there is a huge problem with Medi-Cal, and if expanding Medicare to include everybody might be an answer.
Well, Anthony, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think there's some. I mean, my organization, supports the Affordable Care Act wholeheartedly. We also support a universal single payer system, which would be expanding Medicare to everybody. It would be a simpler, more streamlined system. At the same time, one of the reasons why the Affordable Care Act is designed the way it is because it wanted to be protective of the coverage that people have now through employers, through existing public programs, but also provide help, especially for those who who have to get coverage as individuals. So there are trade-offs to any change. We certainly feel that the Affordable Care Act is an improvement over the previous system, but there's still more work to do. It is also the case that in California, we've benefited from the fact that states have had their own ability to make choices because we've taken the opportunity to not just implement but improve upon the law. Unfortunately, there are states that have taken the opportunity to do less than the basic requirements, including not even expanding Medicaid. There are still 24 states that have not expanded Medicaid and are turning away money to cover their low-income populations, and that's just, to me, outrageous. My hope is that they will come along because the economic imperative is just too great.
Yeah. Well, and what about single-payer, just quickly? Because Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed single-payer bills twice. It hasn't come up under Jerry Brown, but what is the status of single-payer in California, Anthony?
There have been proposals in the legislature. I think, unfortunately, the last time there was, it was stalled in the legislature. There was but I think that there's an active effort by several advocacy groups and unions to continue to advance the issue. People who are in support of single payer recognize that's probably something that will eventually wind its way onto a ballot as well, either by the proponents or the opponents.
Yeah,
one of the things that's notable, I'll just say this, is that the Affordable Care Act does allow for experimentation starting in 2017 where states who can try to meet the goals of the Affordable Care Act through other means can submit for a waiver. Vermont is actually planning to do something with a single-payer like
system. Right. Well, and since
so
you're
I think that's a timeline that that some folks are looking at.
Since you're in Sacramento, I don't think Jerry Brown has come out to state where he stands on single-payer, has he?
I don't think he's issued a declarative statement. He has, when questioned about it, pondered the various just logistical issues that would be involved.
Hmm. Yeah, I think we should do a show about how that would actually work in practice. So thank you for calling in, Ruth Ann. And you can join us. We've got a line open at 866-798-8255. Today we're continuing our coverage of the Affordable Care Act by focusing on Medi-Cal and answering your questions about who qualifies, what happens when it reaches so many new people, how will the system actually deal with all of these new patients. And you can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. Anthony Wright is Executive Director of Health Access California. Shannon McConville is Research Associate at the Public Policy Institute. We're getting a lot of questions, Shannon, about doctors. One listener emails, if there are so many more people eligible, who are the doctors who will be serving all of them? All I have ever heard from Medi-Cal patients is that they don't have access to doctors and it's impossible to get appointments. How is that an improvement, or do you see more doctors trying to see Medi-Cal patients? And then we have another email from Matthew, who says, I'm an ER doctor on the Central Coast, so my door is always open to all corners 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. But we're not answering the question about the shortage of primary care doctors. Primary care has been underfunded and undervalued for years in favor of higher-paying micro-specialties. There will be a 10-year lag to catch up. And unless reimbursement goes up, people still will not choose primary care when looking at $250,000 in medical school debt. Shannon, what are your thoughts on this?
Sure. So one thing I don't think that has been mentioned yet is that the Affordable Care Act did include some provisions to try and help around with the primary care supply issue. And so the act includes for the years 2013 and 2014, an increase in primary care rates to Medicare levels. So it allows states to increase their payment rates to providers, for primary care providers, up it to the Medicare level. And in California, that will be pretty significant. As of, it looks like 2008, our Medi-Cal to Medicare fee index for primary care was below 50%. So this would be a significant bump in primary care provider rates. That said, it should have already been happening throughout 2013 because the goal was to really get more primary care providers into the Medi-Cal system before the expansion happened. I believe California just recently was able to approve how that would work, and so that rate, Anthony might know exactly about the timing on when they will see. I believe it will be retroactive, but it didn't happen probably as quickly as it could have in order to get more physicians participating in the program. And so hopefully, too, in 2014, you will have these extended increased rates for primary care providers, and hopefully that will help ease the situation a bit. I'll also say, with regard to the comment that the emergency room physician made, we do see Medi-Cal patients consistently having the highest usage rates of emergency departments, and that could be driven by a whole host of factors, but one of them that is often brought up is the extent that, you know, primary care and outpatient services and timely outpatient services are available to this population. So it's another important point to make.
And in the New York Times piece about Medicaid growth and doctor shortages, they quoted a number of doctors. Dr. Paul Urea is an ophthalmologist in Monterey Park. He said he's skeptical of, quote, blue sky scenarios. Having been in the trenches with Medi-Cal patients who have serious eye problems, I can tell you it's very, very hard to get them to see those specialists. He said that some patients couldn't see a doctor until February, even though they've got a potentially blinding condition. And then Dr. Ted Mazur also quoted, he's one of the few ear, nose, and throat specialists who treat low-income people in the San Diego area. And he said he's already scheduled 4 weeks out and he can't accept additional patients. So, Anthony, what would you say about these concerns?
Well, what I found striking about that article is that those doctors are admitting breaking the law. You know, we actually have pretty clear standards with regard to timely access to care that do apply to Medicaid managed care plans. The Medicaid when people sign up for Medicaid, they sign up for Medicaid managed care plans, and those plans, as part of accepting the rates that they do, are agreeing to provide care in a timely fashion, where people are able to get an appointment within 2 weeks, a specialist within 3 weeks. And if they're not doing that means that they're that's something that needs to be reported and followed up upon, because that's a guarantee. I agree that I don't invest myself in blue sky scenarios, but the point is that with oversight and vigilance and working on this, we can make this work. What is, unfortunately, some people have used the fact that Medi-Cal is underfunded to attack the program and say that it's not worth it, whereas there is very clear evidence that Medicaid coverage is a hell of a lot better than being uninsured. But that doesn't mean that we should, pat ourselves in the back and not work on improving the Medi-Cal program so that it serves everybody who relies upon it.
All right. Well, thank you again for those emails. We have a call from Tony in Capitola. He couldn't stay on the air. He says the expansion's great, but he wished it covered things like vision and dental. Where do patients go when they don't have these services? Shannon?
Well, at least with regard to dental, Medi-Cal did cut dental a few years ago, again, because of budget cuts, although it is being restored. So to a certain extent, dental should become more available to people who are Medi-Cal eligible. I believe that's happening in April or May of the upcoming year, and hopefully that will continue to be covered under the Medi-Cal program. I mean, honestly, then it's a reliance on the safety net providers, and to the extent that, I think some of the clinics, particularly the comprehensive ones, will provide at least some connection to vision and dental care. I mean, that's really what you need to rely on, the safety net resources. But again, hopefully, at least with regard to the dental issue, that will be improved upon because they are including putting dental back into Medi-Cal.
Anthony, anything to add on vision and dental?
Right. I mean, I think yes, as Shannon mentioned, there are some basic benefits that Medicaid needs to cover, but then states have the ability to make some determinations in the margins. In 2009, 9 benefits were cut, including vision and dental. We mostly restored dental earlier this year in the budget that will start in May 2014. So folks on Medi-Cal, either who are newly eligible or previously eligible, will now have that coverage for adults. Children, it was never cut for children, but now restored for adults. And I think that there should be a conversation in next year's budget about whether to restore vision as well. I will also remind folks that this is for the Medi-Cal program. For those who have coverage in the exchange and covered California, there will be options in the future to be able to buy dental and vision coverage in subsequent years.
All right. Well, thank you again for calling in, Tony. And that is Anthony Wright, Executive Director of Health Access California. Shannon McConville is Research Associate at the Public Policy Institute of California. And we're continuing our coverage of the Affordable Care Act by talking about Medi-Cal. And you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Diane in Marin County. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I'm calling with a question, but I also have a brief comment after listening for a while about coverage of finding doctors. Just so people know, if you buy or if you have your own policy at Kaiser, which is huge in California, and you now qualify for the Affordable Care Act, you are grandfathered in. You will stay on Kaiser and switch over to Affordable Care Act. So you'll have full access to Kaiser, which is pretty good coverage in terms of doctors and everything.
You mean, you're talking about just buying insurance on your own?
Yeah, if you do, which is the situation for a family member of mine. That's why I know about that.
Oh, okay. And
if you're already on Kaiser, you can stay on it and switch over to Affordable Care, and you'll have doctors.
But your premiums might go up, right? Because I have some friends on Kaiser whose premiums went up.
Well, if you're on the Affordable Care Act, it pays for your premiums. It depends on your level, but if you have the low income and qualify for the good coverage, you all pay.
Okay, on low income, right? Okay.
Yeah, or super low. It'll be super low or, yeah, very good. My question is, I looked a little bit at the website. If you go over to the Covered Care website, and you find that you qualify for Medi-Cal, do you then have to switch out and go talk to the Medi-Cal people, and it basically has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act? You're just, then you're in a different system and you have to approach Medi-Cal directly. Is that how that works?
Anthony, is that how that works?
So could you repeat the question again?
Do you have to deal with different people if you qualify for Medi-Cal?
Again, you can call the Covered California hotline or go through the website, and you should be able to, they will connect you. I mean, one of the things about the new system is this concept of no wrong door, that if you you should be able to sign up through, you can go to your county office, you can call up, but you can also go through the Covered California portal online, on the phone, etc., and they should be able to do a quote-unquote warm handoff to the place that you need to go once they figure out where that is.
Okay, and again, the website is coveredca.com, and the phone number is 800-300-1506, 800-300-1506. Thank you for calling, Diane. We have kind of a related question from Charles in Fort Bragg, who says, I tried to enroll for Affordable Assurance about 6 weeks ago. I was informed I did not qualify, and I was being referred to Medi-Cal. My problem is I still haven't heard back from my county, Mendocino County, Medi-Cal office. I can't reach them by phone, and they won't call me back. I'm frustrated. I would like to have Medi-Cal. I haven't had a doctor's visit in 10 years. Any help would be appreciated. Shannon or Anthony, can you give him some tips?
I mean, again, Anthony suggested it, or you know, said it, but you should be able to contact Covered California through especially maybe one of their call lines. And they are, I mean, at least I believe the intent and the vision is that they should be able to then connect you, and I believe it's to a person in your county office. And again, I think that's the intent and the vision, to what extent that actually is occurring every day, every time somebody calls. I don't know, honestly, but I would really encourage him to call that number that you just gave, and even if he has to go through another, hopefully short screening process to determine that, yes, you are likely Medi-Cal eligible, you would hope that he could then, that they could then help facilitate his getting into contact with his county office, who could then facilitate the enrollment and, you know, get him kind of where he needs to be in order to gain Medi-Cal coverage come January 1st.
Okay, and is there any way to sign up in person? I mean, can you just go to the office if you're frustrated with the phone system?
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
I don't know to what extent that varies county to county, but yes, you should, there should be an avenue there as well. Anthony can probably speak to that better.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, you should be able to go, you should be able to do it, to go through the Covered California portal online or on the phone. You should be able to go in person to your county office, especially for Medi-Cal. That was the way that it was, you know, prior to the Affordable Care Act, and that continues to be an important resource for folks.
Okay. Well, thank you for the email, and I hope that helps. We also have an email from a listener who says, does the website work for people with dial-up access? I'm sure it does. It's probably just a little slower, right, Anthony?
That's right. I mean, again, you're not required to go through online. I mean, especially for for those in other states who have had to deal with the healthcare.gov with its infamous problems. The president made the point that you can go by phone. There's a paper application. There are ways to apply, you know, prior to us having websites. And so that the dial-up will likely be slow, but should be operational. It may just be simpler to go to a library or to. I also want to make the emphasis that a lot of people will want in person, or at least some help with this. That this, especially when if you have an income situation, it's a little bit complicated. Maybe also a family situation that may be a little bit complicated. You may want some in-person help. One thing that you can sign up on the website for is for in-person help, either from an agent or broker, or from a enrollment counselor. Based in a community organization near you. And so one of the things that you can do is you can call up and ask for an enrollment where there is an enrollment counselor near you, so that you can have an in-person connection with somebody and go through whatever you know, issues or questions that you might have for your specific circumstance.
Okay. Well, thank you. And we have time for just a few more calls. Let's hear from Evelyn in Oakland. Hi, Evelyn.
Thank you. Wonderful program. And all we want need so much more about this. Question. I am a retired, disabled, and poor. But I get insurance from my old employer. And the question, what we've always liked about Medi-Cal possibility is that they offer some in-home care services, which Medicare does not and other insurance plans don't. So my question would be, will Medi-Cal, expanded Medi-Cal, still offer in-home support services, which include, you know, dressing, a little bit of cleaning, et cetera?
Right.
And will it cover decent wages for the caregivers?
That's a great question. We actually did a show about that, and I'm sorry to cut you off. We're almost out of time, so I want to make sure we get your question answered. Anthony, does Medi-Cal cover in-home supportive services, and are the workers paid a living wage?
I think the broader question is just that nothing should change. Nothing about the Affordable Care Act should change what's going on in Medicare or in-home supportive services or anything. That will continue as it is, and you know, I just want to be clear, for those who are Medicare age or above, you really don't need to do anything. There is an open, you know, you have to go through the normal process in Medicare. There is, this is really for the under 65 set that we're talking about.
Okay, and I know someone who has in-home supportive care and has a hard time finding people because the wages are so low. What are people paid on average? Do you know, Anthony?
It varies from county to county, and I know that there are ongoing efforts to try to improve that. Again, to where we were dealing with a very, very tough budget situation over, frankly, the last decade, and now that there's a surplus, hopefully some of those issues can be restored.
All right. And so Medi-Cal, just the best places to go for, we've got a bunch more questions, unfortunately, we can't take because we're out of time. Is there a good site that just has it just answers to basic questions? Shannon, can you point us somewhere?
Well, yeah, I mean, we keep pointing to the Covered California website. I think they're, healthcare.gov, also just for basics on what new benefits are included and where you can go. I will say Anthony had mentioned that you can find assisters on the Covered California site. It actually does have a feature where you can just enter your zip code, and it will give you a list of places that are within a certain mile of within your zip code. That these are nonprofits and CBOs that can really help you understand how to get coverage.
Okay.
And to help you with that. So,
right.
So that would be helpful. But
And we'll continue this coverage of the healthcare series because we've got a lot more questions that we need to be answered. Again, the number is 800-300-1506, and the website is coveredca.com. Anthony Wright and Shannon McConville, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. How are low-wage workers organizing to change the workforce? On the next Your Call, we'll talk about workers fighting for increased wages and the right to unionize. Last Thursday, fast food workers in over 100 cities nationwide walked out for the fifth time in a year. Walmart workers protested and went on strike at 1,500 stores on Black Friday in response to low wages and unpredictable schedules. So what explains the rise of this movement and where is it going? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan, Ali Budner, and Becca Hoekstra produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.